Anyway, we got a guest on the line.
Yeah, we do. Here he is from the Starting Nine podcast, longtime MLB pitcher. One of our favorites, Dallas Braden. Dallas, at any point in your career, did you have confrontations with like a media member who just asked you the most, you know, ridiculous question after a tough start or anything along those lines?
No, because if we're being honest, playing in Oakland, the media, you know, it was like I had like three or four of my closest friends asking me questions, and that was about it. The media scrum lasted all of about 36 seconds, and we out, and that was it. So, no, I didn't, not until after I had a dust-up with a guy who used to play baseball in New York did I have any sort of questions like that fired at me. But I understand the media's got a job. They're digging. You know, they're gonna put it on a tee for you. It's up to you to take your hacks or maybe pass, you know?
Did you play with anybody that was just like that had to deal with the media on a regular basis that just dreaded it? Now that I'm out of like pro sports, I'm like, I think about it obviously different. I'm like, do you not have a couple minutes? But then when I think back to it, I'm like, dealing with it every single day, you get sick of it. Did you have any teammates that were just miserable with the media and couldn't stand doing it?
Well, just guys that you know have to, they're going to have to answer questions regardless of their own performance, regardless of the team's performance, because they're just sort of that mouthpiece to the fans from the franchise, right? You want to hear from the star guy. And, I mean, this isn't a knock on anybody that I played with. I just don't know that I played with anybody that had to answer those questions day in and day out. And if there was somebody that locker was being hounded, these guys were great about it. That's part of the cool thing about playing specifically for the Oakland A's is you got a bunch of characters who are going to let it fly one way or the other. And if it's a soundbite on Friday night and just a quote on Saturday, so be it. But it's a lot of personality and not a whole lot of bark.
What about when you threw your perfect game? You know, you would have been getting requests from like shows like this, and you probably were like, I can't do it. Like, I'm not coming on with you guys because ESPN is calling and Fox is calling. Like, that is such a monumental moment in the history of the sport. What was your PR person thinking the next day or that night when they were dealing with requests after you threw a perfect game?
Oh, they absolutely hated me. You got to understand. Like, not happen to, again, small market, like I said, three or four interviews after a ball game that you started, and that's about it. So when something like that happens, it kind of feels like your entire world gets flipped upside down. It's like, yo, Sesame Street's calling. They want to talk to you. Like, what are we? Are we Stephen Ditberg? What are we doing? And like, it was a little bit of a scramble. But look, if we're being real, I've always said the idea that anybody wants to talk to you and wants to ring your phone and hear what you have to say about anything and stick a microphone in front of your face and let you give your opinion on things that people might care about, you should always just be humbled and take advantage of that, because that day will inevitably come to an end and you're just going to be screaming into the wind.
Yep. Well, that's the truth, man. That is the truth. We're chatting with Dallas Braden from the Starting Nine podcast, longtime MLB pitcher. This Fernando Tatis Jr. contract is historic in nature as well. Based on the scope of it, I mean, only Mike Trout, Mookie Betts signed a larger deal in terms of total money, and he has not even played 162 games in the bigs. He's played 143 major league games, 629 plate appearances. They still had, I believe, 5 years of arbitration rights where they could have squeezed this guy if they wanted to. I think it's just a massive gamble. I love him. I love his personality. I think they'll sell a ton of jerseys. They were probably going to do that anyway. What do you make of this deal, and how do you feel about it from the Padres standpoint and from Tatis Jr. standpoint?
Well, there are a few different lenses to look at this thing through. First and foremost, from the Padres fan base. This is a fan base that has had some stars in their day, some stars in their past. They were thirsty for another. They're thirsty for a winning brand of baseball. And that's exactly what Tatis Jr. represents and fulfills, is that void on multiple levels to a fan base that frankly deserves it. They do. They deserve it. And so that's box checked number one. And you think about from an organizational standpoint, to the point you just made, they were going to be able to sell jerseys. They were going to make that money on Tatis Jr. over the next 5 years. And the things that he did on the baseball field would probably only increase their return on investment if they were to just kind of go status quo through the ARB process and through the, you know, and write those checks as they needed to. But what they've done is said, you know what? We want to create a culture. And that's what we've been trying to do here for a while. And this kind of move signifies that. It lets everybody in that room know that we mean business. Because they've got guys, I mean, they've got, it feels like they've got 10 guys that are locked up 3 years or more that are considered a part of this nucleus, this core. And when you have that, and you've got a couple guys like Machado going to be there for a decade. Tatis Jr., like his children are going to be playing third and second base around him. Like it's ridiculous the attention that they paid and the emphasis that they put on keeping these guys in-house and making them happy, allowing them, again, to create that culture that I'm talking about. So from an organizational standpoint, they feel like this is a check they can easily write, already getting a vibe for what Tatis is bringing to the field production-wise. And then off the field, it's time you start factoring that in. And if San Diego has, and they've got a game plan on how to get butts in the seats, because that dude right there playing shortstop has them jumping turnstiles to get in there, well, then that's how they're going to make their money back. If they, for some reason, would have found themselves on the south end of this investment. But I don't think that's going to be the case.
So which player do you think is more emotional one way or the other when you see a deal like this? Tatis gets 14 years, $340 million. Is it Ronald Acuna, who signed a 10-year deal for $100 million, and you could argue is as valuable of a player, or certainly they're both in the same range, or is it Juan Soto, who's like, I'm going to make $300 million? You know, like which one is it? Who's freaking out more based on what happened with Tatis?
It's Juan Soto, because if you are still of the mindset that Acuna Jr. signed on the dotted line because after a certain point in time, X amount of dollars doesn't make a difference to an individual, you and I are not the ones to be making that call for Acuna Jr. He is. And he made that call for him and his family and their families and their families and their families to come after that. So maybe in his mind, he's doing just fine. And sure, from the business end, you look back on that and go, yeah, but that's about a $200+ million gap yeah. We're talking about here.
No kidding.
And sure, that can absolutely stick with you. But again, one man's peace and one man's peace of mind and his bank account could be overflowing regardless of how many commas are in it. And from a Soto's perspective, yeah, you have now had the bar set, and based on what you're doing, you're already being heralded as the best hitter in baseball. Either side of the dish, nobody's talking about your age. Doesn't matter. You're the guy. You're the pure of the big league crop. Like that right there, that has you excited, because you just saw what this man, Tatis Jr., has done, as you guys have pointed out, in less than 162 games, or roughly around that. Mm-hmm. And we've already seen Juan Soto burst on the scene and do what he's done on the game's biggest stage.
Yeah, Soto's numbers are just insane, man. He had a 1.185 OPS last year, on top of 900-plus the previous 2 years. World Series, we all know his story. He's going to get paid for sure. With Dallas Braden, you know, Toronto, they're not up here. The Blue Jays are going to be in Dunedin to start the year, probably end up in Buffalo for a month or two, and then hopefully get back up here. But there's a lot of excitement. You know, the staff is not going to be great. You know, there's going to be patchwork here in terms of the back end of the starting rotation, and hopefully the bullpen improves on where they were a year ago. But 1 through 9, you know, if we're talking bats, the Blue Jays feel very confident that they can hit with anybody. How do you feel about the way they set up and the bats that they currently have coming into this new season?
Well, I mean, let's be real. I'm on the record as saying that George Springer, in today's game right now, the most powerful leadoff hitter, and when I say powerful, I don't mean just let's get him under the bench press and see how much. I mean his ability to make it 1-0 right now, one pitch into the ball game. Nobody else is really packing that punch. Acuna Jr., probably a well more rounded ball player, well more rounded game altogether. He also hits in the leadoff spot. But what George Springer has done over the course of his career in that position, netting him, what, I think he's second all-time in leadoff homers next to the man of steel himself, Ricky Henderson. And then you go down through that lineup, a shortstop that I'd like to think is just on loan right now from the Oakland A's, Marcus Semien.
Yep.
If he gets back to what he is capable of doing, what he showed he's capable of doing in a career year in 19, that is a scary 1-2 punch, because then you've got the legacy Jays coming up behind him, right? The Flo Bichette, Teoscar, you've got Vlad Cakes behind him. Biggio's going to make some noise. I mean, it's a lot of solid young dudes. I mean, Rowdy Tellez,
yep.
The California, the Elk Grove native, the thundering herd, big fella, is hitting eighth for you, Rowdy Tellez. Like, that's a decent spot to have that big left-handed bat, if you're asking me. So as far as how the Jays' offense shakes up, they're poised, in my opinion, to make some noise.
What about when the guys run into the dugout and the pitcher goes out there? Can they pitch, Dallas?
I think they're going to be fine. I look, Ryu, you got the young kid Pearson, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just got Matts over there. You're going to need Matts to step it up. So I can understand why you might balk at, you know, well, what's it look like after Ryu and Robbie Ray? Because, look, you were excited about Robbie Ray. I feel like you guys got him 12:01 the day free agency opened up. It was signed Robbie Ray, done. The bullpen does leave maybe some questions. You got Kirby, right? You locked up Kirby.
Yep.
From there, maybe it's about getting the ball to him. And I can understand the questions. I think the offense is going to have to take on the role of being your best defense as well, where you're going to have to score a lot of runs. You're going to have to score, obviously you're going to have to score more than the other team, but you're going to have to make it a significant margin at times. Because I can understand the weakness.
That's the concern. And fundamentals, I mean, defensively, they were pretty awful last year too. I mean, that's got to improve as well. That can help the staff. As you know, you throw up some run support, that can help them. That bullpen stays healthy, I think they'll be better than they were a year ago. And maybe you're off and running. We'll see, man. Pitchers and catchers, they're in camp. We can't wait for it. We'll do this again down the road. Always appreciate the time. Thank you, Dallas.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, boys. Enjoy.
You got it. Dallas Braden, longtime MLB pitcher and Starting Nine podcast co-host. Always great to have him on.
Yeah.
And, listen, the 1-9 speaks for itself. Everyone knows if they're healthy, the bats should be there.
Yep.
It is the staff. It's the bullpen. You know, you got to pitch to win. We all know that. I mean,
right.
They can't pitch. They can't keep up. I don't see it right now with that staff. I think they're going to have to improve it. I think they're going to need to add to it. But if they can just kind of hang around and be in contention come July, then maybe you pull the trigger on something. Yeah, and see where it takes you.